This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author,
Chris Ducker.
What's up, and welcome to episode number 145 of Youpreneur FM. I am your host with the most, Chris Ducker. Welcome, everybody, to another show, and I very much appreciate you inserting me into your eardrums here. Thank you very much. Whether you are jogging in a beautiful, picturesque environment, working out at the gym, walking your dog, hanging out at home, maybe you're sneaking a little listening pleasure whilst working your 9-to-5 and hustling on the side to build up your business, I respect you and thank you very much for being with me. Today, we got a great show planned with our very good friend, Jared Morris, from over at CopyBlogger Media/Rainmaker Digital. And I asked Jared to come on to talk about the logged in experience, what it's like to truly build a community behind closed doors. And it's a really, really good eye-opener of an episode. Before I do that, however, I want to remind you that as a podcast listener, you instantly qualify for a $50 discount to annual Youpreneur Mastermind Community membership. For more info, you can head over to youpreneur.com/podcast. And as soon as you sign up with that $50 discount, you'll have instant access to all of our training material, our private forums, and a whole lot more. It's a great community. The growth is incredible. And we've just got some amazing, amazing Youpreneurs in there doing great things. So please make sure you hop over to check it out, youpreneur.com/podcast, to get that $50 discount. Don't say I never give you nothing. All right. Now, onto this chat with Jared. Like I said, a real eye opener. More and more online content creators and publishers are creating these kind of behind closed doors experiences, right? Where people physically need to log in with a username and a password to get a hold of that content. Sometimes it's paid content, sometimes it's free. But the fact that you're having somebody actually log in and not just sort of land on a random blog page is making a big difference in regards to how people build communities online. And we're talking way above and beyond the whole Facebook group debate that is currently taking place with any kind of online community builder. We're talking about creating content and sharing it behind closed doors and having that mentality of this is more than just a freebie. This is more than just a blog post. And it's creating a lot of really, really powerful communities full of people that take massive action. And Jared has been doing this for a long time. He's got a great wealth of knowledge and experience under his belt. There is nobody else to invite onto Youpreneur FM to talk about this in my book. So here's Jared Morris and I chatting up a storm all about creating that logged in experience. So Jared, welcome to the show, man.
It's great to be here, Chris. Always good to talk to you.
Man, it is. It's better. It's better to talk to you. You know what? I mean, you know, I love you. You know I love you. And, you know, we got to hang out for the first time in September last year, because this is going live in January, even though we're recording in December. We hung out at Aweber's Ascend Summit, and we finally really got the chance to sit down and talk and laugh and share some high fives and all that sort of stuff. And look, you might just think I'm saying this because you're on the line with me, but you're a nicer guy in person than I honestly thought you were going to be.
well, thank not you for I saying
thought,
so.
Yeah, I mean, not that I thought you were going to be some kind of a-hole or something, but it was like, you know, like, I don't know, like, you know, you're just a super nice guy. And I said to you, I want to get you on the show. We're going to get you on the show in the new year. And you said to me, what are we going to talk about? And I said, I have no idea.
Hey, you know, I was just listening to your recording with Amy Porterfield, and I'm disappointed I didn't make a bet with you, because apparently I could have gotten drinks every time we meet up if I had won said bet.
Yeah. Well, no, you see, now I won that bet from her.
Right, I know. But now, but I at least you would have, you offered that kind of bet. And I like my chances.
Yeah. Well, no, fair comment. Fair comment. I keep kind of, you know, like, you know, G-ing Amy up and kind of threatening her that I'm going to move to San Diego.
To take advantage of your winnings.
Take full advantage of my winnings for the rest of my life.
That would actually so be, good. That would be a great premise for a movie. You know, like two people, they make a bet. The one person thinks it's just going to be drinks. Like, yeah, this guy lives overseas. I won't see him that often. Maybe a drink every year or something. And then the guy moves next door and literally tries to like take advantage of it every day. Hey, you lost the bet. Where's my drink?
It sounds like a perfect Bill Murray movie, doesn't it? Like it's got Bill Murray written all over it.
Yes,
I love it.
It does.
Well, listen, man, I mean, I, there's so many different directions that we could go with this conversation. And let's start with what you do day to day. So you're with the formerly known Copy Blogger Media,
yes,
who now changed its name to Rainmaker Media. Am I right?
Rainmaker Digital.
Oh, Rainmaker yes. Digital. My bad. Mm-hmm. Obviously the ChrisDucker.com blog and podcast sits on Rainmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a member of the Rainmaker Podcast Network as well with this particular show.
Yes.
So happy camper. And then tell us, I mean, what do you do exactly for Rainmaker Digital then?
It, you know, it seems to shift often. You know,
that's Brian Clark.
Yeah.
He's behind that.
We joke about that, but it keeps it interesting. And I think for someone who has an entrepreneurial mindset, which I definitely do, and can get bored easily, it's really nice to work for a company where things do shift and there are opportunities to do new things and try new things and there are exciting new projects to sink your teeth into. And obviously that's a double-edged sword because you have to make sure that you're continuing to build and maintain and nurture, you know, the communities that you have. What I really love, probably my favorite thing that I do is I get to write a lot of our emails now, a lot of our emails that go out. And obviously anybody who has followed what Copyblogger and Rainmaker Digital has done knows that email is really the lifeblood of our company, certainly from a revenue perspective. And, you know, like we, you know, just recently did our Black Monday sale. And, you know, I had the opportunity, you know, we have 10, 11 different lists that, you know, that we're sending out this deal to. And had the opportunity to go in and write basically 10, 11 different emails, you know, really trying to get inside the head of, okay, who is this list? You know, who are they? You know, what you know, really try to empathize with them and figure out, okay, how do I match, you know, these different offers that we have, give them the best offer, and then describe the value and the benefits in the way that's really going to hit home for them. Because I know what we have will really help them. How do I describe that? And that's not, you know, before I joined Copyblogger, I wasn't even in this world. And so learning about that and now actually getting the chance to do it and, you know, and there's certainly, I love the faith, you know, that Brian and our team here has in me to, you know, to write these emails. And it's one of those things I just love doing. And if you told me 5 years ago that I would have loved drafting, you know, different emails for different lists, I would have said, that sounds like the most boring thing that you could ever do. And yet, you know, once you really dig into this and, you know, learn this business and really once you've met the people in our audience, you know, and you can really put faces with massive email lists, that to me is one of the most fun things that I get to do.
Well, it's cool. I mean, you know, and there's something about, you know, with something like that, you will get better and better and better at it the more and more and more you do it. Like I found it myself. I was almost... And I'm a sales guy. Like I've been in sales my entire career. But when I sat down and I started writing copy, like actual sales copy for websites and landing pages and emails and all that sort of stuff. I mean, the first few launches and whatnot that I did, I was pooing it. I mean, I was genuinely concerned that I was going to blow the opportunity to make money because I didn't think my copywriting was strong enough. So I did what any self-respecting business owner does who doesn't have the confidence to do something himself. I outsourced it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I outsourced and I outsourced and I outsourced. And then I realized through looking at what other people had been doing for me that there was this sort of slant that they were taking on my stuff in my style. And then I just sort of practiced on my own. And before I know what was happening, I actually did. I went from writing a sales email and turning it into a blog post to see what people were going to think about it before I sent it out to my entire list.
It's a good idea.
I love that kind of validation, and it really helped to grow my confidence inside of me with that sort of stuff. And I'm very proud to say that I haven't had anybody write an email for me for over 2 years now. So
that's great. Yeah. And that's one of those things, you think, okay, I can outsource this, but yet a lot of times it's that final touch point with your audience before you're asking them for the most important action. And so in many ways, it should be the last thing that you outsource. I know, for instance, when we write emails, I will say, I don't think I was very good at it in the beginning, and I feel like I've gotten better. And the only way that you get better is just by doing it and writing so many emails and rewriting and having them edited. And I think for me, having a mentor like Brian, who is obviously so good at doing this and who will look at them, provide his honest, candid feedback, which is always the easiest thing to listen to in the moment. But always when you see the changes, and you realize the why behind them, it makes you better. And that's the other thing that's really helped me is I think sometimes we reach a certain point where we think we're better, but even when we get really good, having mentors, having editors who can look at it, point out things maybe you didn't see, just give you a different perspective, can make it even better. And that, kind of having that humility to realize that there's always another perspective that can help out, and just the importance of what a mentor can do to help move your growth along is so important.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with you. And I mean, it's obviously it's kind of started as a job for you, but now you're so richly rooted in that group. Does it even feel like a job anymore? Do you almost feel like,
No, I laugh because, I always joke that, I enjoy what I do so much that now in my, my off time, my side projects, I do the exact same thing. Like, I just had a great time last week. So I have this site assembly call. It's a post-game show for Indiana basketball games, and it's kind of my little sandbox that I like to play in. And so I've been working with the marketing automation tools inside of Rainmaker, and I really wanted to create a logged-in experience and then make it more worthwhile for our audience. And so, we have people who come after every game, they come to our site and they watch our video, of our post-game show. They participate in our chat. We have a content library. So we've created a bunch of different avenues for people to just experience our content on the site. And, I was trying to think, okay, what autoresponder emails can I send based on actions to try and get a little bit more engagement, to try and meet, some of these people who are watching, who maybe I don't know yet. And so we started doing a halftime show last season. And so I made it so that when someone, and they have to log in to see the halftime show, it's a members only halftime show. So our membership is free, but you still have to log in. And so when they visit the halftime show page logged in for the second time, an autoresponder email is triggered that basically just says, hey, and the reason I wanted to do this is because I know the people who watch the halftime show are the true, true diehards, because that's really getting into the content when you watch the post-game show and the halftime show. And I just wanted to thank them. And so, I put that email in. It was basically just, hey, thank you for checking out the halftime report. Really appreciate it. We love doing the show just because it's fun. But, really, what we love most is connecting with you. If you have any questions or comments, or suggestions for how I can improve it, let me know. And, all of a sudden, I started getting a bunch of replies to that email with people that I didn't know were audience members that, just said, hey, no suggestions, but thank you. Really love what you're doing. We love the show. And it was incredibly uplifting and motivating and inspiring, and it opened up that line of communication. And when you can get obviously that can be a difficult thing to scale, but up to a certain point where you can really create those direct lines of communication with your audience, have that touch point, even if it's just for a few emails, you've taken that relationship to the next level, and I think made that person more likely to come back, more likely to perhaps donate, especially if you're using some type of donation model, but more importantly, more likely to be an advocate that is a truly committed member of your audience, because hey, they've just emailed with the guy hosting the show. And that's not to put yourself on a pedestal, but it's to understand what will make an audience member feel special. And I think if you're doing your job right, if you're in it for the right reasons, it should make you feel special, because truly it's your audience members that are on the pedestal, and now you've gotten the opportunity to connect with them, and that just deepens the relationship all the way around.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, I'm all about you know, giving people the opportunity to chat and tweet and, you know, even get on Skype every now and then as well, if, you know, time permitting. I mean, I want to ask this question as a follow-up to that then. So are these guys now, you know, are they more active? Do you see them logging in more? Are they in the forums more? Are they tweeting about you more? All that sort of stuff. I mean, are they slowly turning into those super fans that we all love and want?
Yes. So we, with our forum, we haven't gotten too much into the forum yet. And I hesitate with that only because there are other sites out there for this niche that do forums really well. And I'm part of one, and I actually host a podcast. I guest host a podcast for a guy who runs the best forum. And, you know, our thing has always been, we really, really want to differentiate ourselves. And so if other people are doing it, we don't really want to. Now, you know, my thinking on that may evolve over the course of the next year, because at some point, you know, you do want a place where you can communicate and host your own conversation. And so
there may come a point
where we do want to do that. And so we actually have a discussion forum that's based strictly around our content library. Like, we use the learning management system to set up the 50 greatest Hoosiers of all time. And it's kind of this walkthrough history of, you know, all the great players who have played at IU. And people go on the forums and they share their thoughts. And I won't too heavily promote that until after the season, because in season it's just a different mindset. But what really has increased engagement and what has increased memberships is we started a live chat. So, and I use Cover It Live for this because they make it easy to set up, and then you can just embed it directly on your page. And using the show to and hide from functions in Rainmaker, I can show it to people who are logged in and hide it from people who aren't logged in and say, hey, you know, we'd love for you to participate in our chat. It is members only. It allows us to, you know, to keep the conversation, you know, focused and to our core audience members, but it's free to log in. It takes 15 seconds. Go here. And we've seen a lot more memberships since we made the chat members only, and it's gotten rid of a lot of the riffraff that you'll get. Because with any type of sports chat or, you know, chat based on an event that just happened, emotions are always high, you know, whether it's sports, a political debate, a TV show. And if you just host a chat and tweet it out, you'll get a lot of drive-by chatters that just want to come in and, you know, put some foolishness in, you know, chat some nonsense. Right. And we've filtered a lot of that out. And we actually have three of our audience members who moderate it. And I can't pay them. They just do it because they love doing it. And so, you know, I think making it more of an experience than just, here's our embedded YouTube video, here's our live event. You know, now you can log in. There's a chat. There's a members-only halftime show that only the, you know, the really committed people get. It has deepened the connection because we see the numbers going up year over year. We see more engagement on social media. And I think, to me, it's been further proof of what we've been teaching at Rainmaker about just that the essential nature of a logged-in experience to deepen the connection and give people a reason to come back, because it's different and more rewarding than what they get elsewhere.
So I like this avenue that we're going down here. Here we are saying, we've got no idea what we're going to talk about, but I love, I love the fact that we're going down this logged in experience avenue. Let's stick with this, because I think that it's not being talked about very often. It will definitely be talked about more and more here in 2016 and way beyond that. I mean, Brian and you and the guys over at Copyblogger have been living and breathing this for quite some time now, big advocates of it for a while. What are the main reasons why, whether it's free or whether it's paid, what are the main reasons why we as content creators and digital publishers of content, training, whatever the case may be, what are the main reasons why we should be considering creating that logged in experience?
Man, I mean, for me, I think it just helps you cut through the noise, because there is so much content out there that, you know, you've got to separate your content and make it different. And one way to do that is with this concept of adaptive content, right? Which is the right piece of content for the right person at the right time. And when you get someone logged into your site and you can serve them up content based on actions that they take or preferences that they select, or more importantly, that they show you based on their actions, now you are really delighting people. Like, that's the thing with that email. I mean, it was such a simple email. It only took me 5-10 minutes to write and set up. And yet, you know, every response I got back included exclamation points. And that may be kind of a silly thing to base the success on. But, you know, when sports fans are emailing you back and including exclamation points in their email about something as simple as just you sending them an auto email thanking them, you know that you've delighted that person. And
oh,
so,
yeah, you hit a button.
Yeah, and it helps you go to that next level. And you know, there's obviously this concept of content shock, and there's so much content out there. And I think when you have that logged in experience, again, you separate yourself. So it's like with what we're doing at the assembly call, you know, we stepped into this market that was highly saturated already, to the point where, you know, I've had conversations with people and they'll look at this and they'll say, I have this idea, but there's so many other sites out there. How am I going to make a name for myself? You know, I think you look at that and I was excited because it's like, okay, clearly people, this market has proven people want this content. Now, what can I do that's different? And anymore, in a lot of niches, what you can do that's different is offer a logged in experience. And that's the one thing. I mean, there are so many great sites in this niche that have advantages over us. They have more access. They've been around longer. You know, they had this, that, and the other. They have money backing them. All of this. We're just this little whatever, this little bootstrap site that's just going out trying to build an audience. So we did something different. There was no post-game show. We did a post-game show. We knew how to market a podcast better than anyone else did. We're the first ones to create a logged-in experience that really, you know, connects people and adapts the content based on what they do. So I really think it gives you that ability to differentiate and delight. And when you can do those two things, even in a saturated market, you can stand out and really create a connection with people.
I love that. I mean, and also for me, you know, with what we've done with Youpreneur, I genuinely feel like as the creator myself of the content, I feel like what I create inside of that logged in portal, particularly as we charge, obviously, as a paid membership, I feel like I've got to really, really step it up. Mm-hmm. Like as the publisher myself, I feel like I need to deliver. I need to over deliver inside. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't put care and attention into this show and into my my blog and things like that. But I really do feel like as the publisher of the content and you know, the guy that driving force behind that membership, I really do feel like having that logged in experience really forces me to be on my game all the time with everything that I do as well.
It does.
And I think that's an important factor. Whether you're charging for it or not, obviously if you are charging for it, then it's even more important. But even if you're not, the fact that someone literally needs to put in a username and a password and enter it, it's like you're saying this is the hallowed ground, aren't you?
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like this is where the good stuff is. And then if you don't deliver, then you look like a bit of an idiot, don't you?
Well, yeah, you do. And it lets you know, like you were suggesting there, you know, who are your most committed people, which is so important to know. I mean, I think, you know, that we've been building an email list for a while, and it's great to have this big growing email list. But, you know, our list had gotten big, and I didn't really have a way of knowing, okay, well, who are the 10% of the people that are just the most committed? And now opening up that free membership has made that abundantly clear. And the other thing that has been just really exciting to learn, and you know, especially if you're in this position where it's kind of this bootstrap thing, it's kind of starting out as a hobby, and obviously I don't have tons and tons of time to put to this because there's a lot of other things that I'm doing. But what it's done, and tell me if you agree with this, a lot of times when you create something, you know, and we're creators, we've, you know, both gone out and created sites and created communities, you know, you start to feel like you have to have your hand in everything. And it can be a little difficult to step back. Well, when you create these different experiences, right, whether it be a chat or whether it be a show where you're having co-hosts or whether it be a content library where, you know, you're requesting help in creating the content, you're crowdsourcing some of the content, it's amazing to see people step up and raise their hand and say, I want to help. You know, not like I want you to pay me. Like, I just want to be more involved. I want to moderate the chat. I want to submit this essay. And like every single time, it opens my eyes back up because I'll get kind of, you know, stressed. Like, oh my God, I have so much to do, until I forget, wait a minute, why don't I just ask the people in the audience for help? Because driving the site forward means as much to them as it does to me in a lot of ways. And it's been such a good lesson in that.
Oh, no doubt. And I think the fact that you are, I think the fact that you are not charging for that particular community kind of almost empowers them more to help out. You know what I mean? To help out. Let's go in a slightly different direction then with this.
Sure.
And you know, a few people have reached out to me since I've launched Youpreneur. They've asked me for tips and tactics on, you know, building membership sites, launching membership sites, marketing membership sites. And, you know, honestly, my honest reaction, and it probably will still be like this for a good 6 months, is that I'm not that experienced when it comes to that. You know, like, I've only literally just started doing it. Now, obviously, I've learned very fast on my feet. You know, you guys obviously have worked with a lot of people who run paid communities. What are the major differences, other than you're making money, but what are the major differences of running kind of these paid logged in experiences compared to, say, a complimentary or free one?
I mean, I think certainly the expectation of the audience is going to be different when they are paying for something. And I think what's important is to view any type of membership site, whether it's free or whether it's paid, as a set of expectations that you're setting and then fulfilling. And so just because it's a free membership site, you know, it'll never become paid if you're constantly setting an expectation and not fulfilling it, right? So, you know,
good point.
You know, like eventually we're going to put a free part of the Showrunner course out there. And I don't know exactly what that will look like, but I do know that when we set an expectation, we need to fulfill it. Just like when we say we're going to do a couple of Showrunner huddles a month in the paid course, that we do that because when people were signing up, that's what they wanted. And it's, you know, it's so it's important to. And I've learned this because, you know, there have been projects in the past where I've been guilty of over-promising and under-delivering, which you never, ever, ever want to do. And it's not, you know, I think over-promising can come from the best of intentions, but sometimes when those promises aren't grounded in reality, you get to a point where you realize there's 26 hours, that, you know, there aren't 26 hours in a day and something's got to go. And that leaves people not delighted.
Not only that, but when you overpromise, even if you did it with the best of intentions, if you don't deliver, particularly if people are paying, they're going to get upset.
Yeah, and they have a right to be, because we all would get upset, you know, for in the same way. So, you know, and I think the other thing then, you know, when you talk about, you know, the success of paid experience is the same thing, you know, make it an experience and find ways in there to communicate differently based on what people are doing. You know, like we're setting up right now, you know, in Digital Commerce Institute, some different autoresponders and some different ways to communicate with people based on paths they go. You know, it's kind of like those old choose your adventure books.
I love that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because that's the thing, you know, you get people into a paid course and depend, you know, now maybe it's just a single paid course, you know, like for instance, with the Showrunner, it's pretty much single paid course. Everybody kind of goes along that in the same way. But even there are opportunities based on pages people come to multiple times or links that they click on that you can deliver that person extra information because they've designated like, hey, I'm really interested in this. But especially as you grow a paid membership site and there are different courses and there are different webinars and there are different areas and avenues, you know, really tailoring that experience to that person, it just, I think, helps them buy in more, helps them get more out of it. And every time you do that, you know, we talk a lot about marketing and building a list and you know, trying to attract new people. Well, sometimes we overlook how important our current customers are and how a lot of times the best way to create new customers is to delight our current ones because they will be around to buy our next product or they'll be around to tell people. And so not taking for granted people once they get in, but realizing that it's really the beginning of the relationship, not the culmination of it, I think will really set you up for success with any type of membership site.
Do you feel, I mean, you know, when we say membership, it can mean so many different things nowadays. Like, you know, it could be something as simple as, you know, a free membership to something like your basketball community. Mm-hmm. It could be a Youpreneur membership for a business community. It could be a Netflix membership. You know, when we think about memberships in general, I mean, we truly are. And many, many episodes ago, we had Robbie Kalman Baxter, who wrote the book, The Membership Economy, on the show. It was a great conversation, very, very popular episode. And, you know, I kind of really feel like we're in that membership economy nowadays. Like, there's so many businesses that are flipping the switch and going down this avenue. Do you think this is going to become more mainstream?
Oh, absolutely.
And is it a fad? Is it a fad?
I don't think it's a fad. I mean, I think it's a trend that will last, because I think, you know, humans are hardwired for tribes. And, you know, I think that's what membership communities help us do, because there's no shortage of content. But I think for a lot of people, there is a shortage of places where that they feel speak directly to them, and where they feel like they found their people. And I think that's what these membership communities allow you to do. You know, not just educate, but allow people to feel comfortable and connect and ask the questions they really want to ask to the people who will know, and to the people who can relate and who can empathize. And I think that's when you see really powerful membership communities, you see those elements there. Now, it's difficult to do. It's difficult to do well. And so, you know, I think we may see a lot more of them that maybe aren't doing it quite as well. But when you can really do this well and create that type of community that you know, is going to do those things for people, then you're going to succeed, and it'll help you cut through that noise.
That was a smart answer. Okay. I love that. That was smart. You're such a smarty pants. Such a smarty pants. So, okay, look, I kind of feel like this was a conversation we should have had when we were with each other a few months ago.
It is, yes. Yeah. Well, we'll have it next time.
Yes.
I should have run up the Rocky steps with you, but I missed out on that.
Oh, did you see my video?
I did. It was awesome.
Was it good or what? Yeah. Now, I want to say, and for you guys tuning in, I might have mentioned this. Did I mention this? Oh, I think I mentioned this actually on a mastermind call for the Upreneur members. I don't think it was on the podcast. So to set the stage here, I was in Philadelphia a couple of years ago on another speaking gig, and I was saying, I got to do the Rocky Steps. I got to do the Rocky Steps. And I never had the chance to do the Rocky Steps on that trip. So this time round, I am not joking. We booked an extra day to do the bloody Rocky Steps. Because I'm one of the biggest Rocky fans you're going to meet. Like, I through my teen years, I must have watched those movies, mm-hmm. you know, probably every week, I think, I was watching a Rocky movie in some capacity.
I used to big always Rocky have fan. The Rocky IV soundtrack on when I was working out.
It's the Rocky IV, the best soundtrack in the like, in the history of movies, the best soundtrack ever, I think.
Yeah. I'm
incredible.
I disagree with you.
Oh, my God. So good. So I got the opportunity to do it. Urs, being the supportive wife that she is, woke up one morning and said, this was the morning that we did it. It was beautiful weather as well. And she says, I'm going to pop out and get a cup of coffee. Okay, great. She's gone like 30 minutes, and the coffee shop is literally next to our hotel, as you remember. Mm-hmm. And she eventually comes back, and she's got the coffee, but she's also got this bag from a sports store that she's been to, and she's gone and bought me like a gray hoodie.
That is awesome.
She's so cool. Seriously. I couldn't make this up even if I got paid to do it. Right. Mm-hmm. So she goes, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it right. And I'm like, yes. Yes. So we get a taxi, or we get an Uber rather, and we head over there, and we walk up towards the end and everything. And we take the photo, you know, the ceremonious photos with the Rocky statue mm-hmm. there. You know, it must be the only statue of a fictitious character that is the son of the city anywhere in the world.
It's incredible. That whole story is incredible.
It's great. I love it.
It is.
And so I said to her, I made her watch that scene from the movie a good 5 or 6 times that morning in terms of the camera angles that I wanted her to get. And so I actually ran up those steps 4 times so she could get those different camera angles. I was bloody knackered at the end of it, I tell you. And then right at the end, the part where she comes up behind me and then has to rotate behind me and gets me with my arms in the air with that skyline of Philadelphia. And, oh, my God. What a great piece of cinematography originally. And she almost did a perfect job of recreating it. And with the phone. We just shot it with the phone.
Yeah.
And it was great. And then obviously I zipped it through via Dropbox to my VA, who then dumped the music on top of it, and it was transformed to all its cinematic glory.
Awesome. I wish I had done that.
Dude, great. You got to do it. You got to do that stuff.
Next time I'm in Philly, I'm going to have to. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
You only live once. But yeah, so, okay, that was a tangent. We went right off base there. And I know you're running out of time because another guy got a call, but I've got one last question I want to ask you then. So,
sure.
So in regards to online business type of membership, so we're looking at courses, we're looking at communities, that sort of type of thing. I mean, how important, and this is a debate that we've had going on for a while, and this is, you know, that logged in experience people have, that more premium type of mindset, I think, particularly when they're paying for something, when they're logging in for something like that. And I did a Twitter poll recently where I asked the hypothetical question, you have paid and joined the business community. What do you prefer? And then the two options I gave was a private forum or a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And 76 or 78% of the people said private forum. Yet the debate is that by using a Facebook group, you'll get more interaction.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on this?
It's such a great question. I do think that you will get more interaction early on with a Facebook group. And we have a Facebook group with the Showrunner, and I love it. I think it's been great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the future, and part of this is just my own general desire, because I'm not a huge fan of Facebook, so I don't particularly enjoy logging in over there. And I feel like when my enthusiasm for it starts to wane, especially for any type of community I'm leading, that can be harmful. But I think even more than that, I think Facebook makes it difficult to index. You know, you have to search and it's kind of unwieldy.
Yeah.
And with any type of membership community, ostensibly, you will have topics that come up again and again, especially as you bring in new people. They're probably going to have some similar questions. So allowing them to inject themselves into conversations that are ongoing to get the context of what was said before, that may answer their question. They may not need to pose a new question. They may be able to build on it and add something else. And so I think you can go deeper for longer with a forum, even if the quantity isn't quite there. I'm really becoming of the opinion that that's better for the long term. So I do think you get that initial bump from Facebook. There's no question, because people are there, and it makes it more, there's probably a little bit of a different type of conversation, but I think you also get some more, maybe drive-by commenting is not quite the right phrase, but you'll get some of the less substantive conversations. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that does help build a good community. But if you're smart, right, I think you can get those in a forum as well, with all the benefits of better organization, you know, longer, more in-depth conversations. And ultimately, I think if you really want to go deep with people, and that's what a membership site should be. You know, you're teaching people with your free content the why. You know, really in a membership site, you should be teaching people the how. And a lot of times the how comes with complicated, dirty, specific questions.
Mm.
And I think a forum allows you to get into those a little bit better, and for longer and for deeper and with better organization than a Facebook group does.
Such a good answer. And, you know, this is a debate is what it is. It's like the old, you know, the debate we had a couple of years ago online. Do you turn your blog comments off or do you leave them on? Remember that one? That one went on for months and months and months and months. And it is what it is, man. Dude, a pleasure to have you on the show. Finally, we'll have to do it again, and maybe we'll record it in person next time.
Oh, that'd be great.
I loved hanging out with you. I truly did. It's been an honor to have you on the show, and I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Oh, for sure. It was my pleasure. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Are you guys listening in? You want to find out more about Jared Morris? You really do. Rainmaker Digital, the Showrunner podcast, and a whole lot more. Show notes over at chrisducker.com/episode145. That's episode 145. We'll have links to everything that Jared's into over there. I will be back at you again next week when we've got another fantastic interview lined up. Until then, take good care, be kind to each other, and I'll see you soon.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business,
as well as rub shoulders,
gain support,
have access to immediate feedback,
as well as nonstop accountability from your peers,
is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information
and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of
today.
Today.
That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you on the inside.